We appear to be rolling.
All right. Welcome to the Misfit Stars podcast. I'm Shannon Curtis.
And I'm Jamie Hill. Hello, everybody.
Hola.
Hi, Shannon.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm great.
Good. I'm good, too. I'm actually really good because we just finished a daunting task. And
yes.
I feel unburdened. Oh, my gosh. We'll get to it.
Yes,
but
we will.
I really feel lighter.
Good.
I was singing over dinner.
You were. You were belting it out with Peter Gabriel.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
That's right. One of the things that we did is we replaced our very old early 1990s solid state stereo receiver with another model of early 90s solid state stereo receiver. These things are amazing because you can get them on eBay for like, I paid like $39.99 for this one.
That's great.
Plus like $18 shipping. And it's actually the same model that I had when I was a kid,
mm-hmm.
which is a really neat full circle kind of thing. I've been actually wanting to get one of these for a while. But, you know, as with all kind of vintage, because like when I was like going into college is now vintage.
Yes.
Which, okay, that's weird.
And the oldie station plays your favorite songs from when you were a teenager.
That's actually kind of the best. Now I know why like my dad was always so stoked when he heard the songs in the grocery. I now also am stoked about the songs in the grocery because they're from when we were a kid because we're old and they're oldies.
Yep.
Only here's the thing. Like my dad's oldies were like doo-wop. And don't get me wrong, great music. Love it a lot. Super uh-huh. good. Ours is freaking cool. You know what I mean? Ours is like David Bowie.
Okay, Gen X. No, totally. I agree with you, but you got to imagine that's something every generation would say.
I know.
About their own generation's music.
I'm imagining the kids who are like 18, 19 years old right now in like 25, 30 years, just getting real misty when Post Malone comes on.
Well, it'll probably happen.
For sure, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have gotten so far off track. We were in our welcome phase and we delved into oldies phase.
Yeah, here's the thing though. It's
welcome.
Our podcast.
It is. Welcome, everybody, to this week's Misfit Stars podcast.
Thanks for getting us back on track, Shan. Lord knows we needed that.
We did. We definitely needed it.
Shannon's a get us on track person in our relationship, if you haven't figured that out. I'm to try to actively drag us off track. It's a good balance.
It's a good thing someone's in charge.
Yeah.
Why don't you welcome our new listeners, Jamie?
Oh, I'd love to. Hi, new listeners. How are you? It's so nice to see you here. We're so grateful you're listening to the Misfit Stars podcast. And if you're a brand new listener, you're surely right about now going, why am I listening to this?
Exactly.
No, I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
I think that people come for the banter. I think people come for the extras.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's my hope anyway, because that's mostly what you get.
Yeah.
So, you know, here's hoping. But new listeners, hi, how are you? It's great to have you. Thank you for listening to our podcast. New supporters, hey, did you people know that this is a supporter-funded podcast?
It's a member-supported podcast.
Yeah, totally. So if you like this podcast...
Do you?
So there's a couple scenarios. First of all, say you've been listening for a while. You like it, but you're not a supporting member. What if you were to consider becoming a supporting member?
Interesting question.
I'll just throw that out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's inexpensive. It's a $5 a month commitment. You can do more. There are people who recently have done more. You can get a t-shirt if you go to one of the higher levels.
That's right.
And it's a gorgeous t-shirt.
Sweet team.
We just sent Terry his. I bet he's stoked. And so, you know, you can get that. You can get a sticker sheet. There's all kinds of cool stuff. But the bottom line is minimum, it's a $5 buy-in. And we would be grateful if you would want to convert from becoming a non-supporting listener to a supporting member. That would be amazing for us. And say also, for example, that you are brand new and you're just here to check stuff out. You know what? Don't go to misfitstars.com/join just
don't
yet.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. I don't want you to do it because I don't want you just to hastily jump into something that you'll regret later. You know what I mean? like getting into a relationship at a bar, you know? Bad idea. Just give it a minute, you know? Give it a few mornings of waking up to see if those feelings you had like really carry through, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe don't support this week, but maybe next week, week after, 2 months down the road, you'll be like, you know what? I've been listening now to the Misfit Stars podcast for like 2 months. And I actually really like it. Not sure why. They just seem to talk shit most of the time. But I'm strangely compelled, like a moth to a flame with the Misfit Stars podcast. And I actually do want to become a supporting member. In that case, what you would do then, not now, but in the future, is you would go to misfitstars.com/join. And you would just sign up. It's really quick. It's really easy. It's inexpensive. As with everything else that Shannon and I do, we aggregate support for the stuff that we do in the world, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like we say to one person, hey, one person, can you give us $2,000 a month to do a podcast? First of all, we're not making $2,000 a month off this podcast. Would we like to? Heck yes.
Well, heck yeah.
Will we ever? I don't know. But if you would like us to, you can help. Because again, we don't ask you individually. We ask a whole bunch of people to pitch in $5. And if you feel supportive and you want to be just part of the group, do it. You get asked to be in the private Facebook group. That's just another little thing I'll throw out there. It's wonderful. It's supportive. It's really cool. Especially this time of year when Facebook in general is a little bit fraught. People are a little bit tense in the world. Misfit Star's secret private Facebook group. It's not secret. It's private. The Facebook group. It is wonderful.
Did you have too much coffee?
I don't know. You served me.
You are just on a tear right now.
I was overserved.
I did not overserve you.
I mean, I'm the one who's hyped up.
You are.
You're the one who's pouring the coffee. I'm just saying.
But thank you for giving all that useful information.
I mean, I thought it was useful. I tried to get through it efficiently.
You did. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't asphyxiate myself due to just sheer lack of breathing while I was pumping facts and figures into the listeners' ears.
So thank you to our new supporters. And if you want to become a supporter, you know, doing that just helps us keep going.
Yeah.
And so we appreciate all of the people who have chosen to become part of that group. Thank you so much to our stars.
Yeah.
And speaking of stars, later on in this episode, we're going to get to a listener topic suggested by one of our Misfit stars.
Yeah.
That is something that you get to do when you become a supporting member of this podcast. Mm-hmm. You get to say, hey, why don't you talk about this? And sometimes we do.
Yeah, we might just do it.
So later on in this podcast, we're going to tackle a listener topic from Misfit Star Jen O.
Jen O. Hi, Jen.
On the lenses through which we see the world.
Yeah.
And how it, I think there was something about how it affects how we treat other people.
Yeah, how it affects
how
our view of others.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting topic.
Yeah, interesting topic. So we're going to talk about that for a little bit.
We are.
Hey, by the way, I'm backtracking a tiny bit, but I just, one thing I forgot to say.
And it's
weird that I forgot to say it because I said so many things. But the one thing I didn't say is, if you love this podcast, please just take a moment. I mean, just pause right now and just go to Apple Podcasts and leave a glowing 5-star review.
That'd be cool of
you. Click the 5-star thing and then type a couple nice words about it. You know, mm-hmm. That would be amazing. Doesn't have to take a long time. It would help. It would help this podcast get into the ears of people who like the same things you like. So if you think that this is something that people who you don't know but who like the same things you like might want to listen to, then that's how that happens.
We would appreciate it.
Yeah, a lot.
It would help.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Get more listeners, thereby get more supporters, and world domination.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. Very
exciting.
Can't
wait to dominate the world.
Yeah, so I've been looking forward to that.
What was on the docket this last week? What happened?
Well, we had a major holiday, Shannon.
We did, in America.
Yep. It was good. It was a good major holiday. You know, they can be fraught. This one didn't feel particularly so. We drove down to Northern California and we hung out with your mom, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. We had a great time with her. We also pretty much the entire time hung out with her new man friend.
Well, not so new. They've been together for a little while now. So.
Yeah, but they're both 70. So, you know, in the scale of a 70-year life, a year and a half, still kind of new.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
It's all relative.
It feels weird to say boyfriend, so I say man friend, and that seems weird, but in a different way.
Also, it does.
There's no elegant way to say 70-year-old boyfriend.
I know. They didn't think about that when they chose the word boyfriend.
It's because people used to die when they were like 38.
Maybe so.
They were still basically boys, and then they died of like the plague or something in like 1498.
Yes. Well, then we did hang out with my mom's man friend.
Yeah. Paramour.
Yeah. The person she's been steadily dating for the last many, many months.
Steadily and exclusively.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
he's wonderful.
Yes. That was really great. We drove down from Tacoma to Northern California, which is a long drive.
But we do it all in one shot.
Yes. So we're like 12 hours. Bam. Yeah. There we go.
Yep.
We used to, when we lived in Los Angeles, we would drive up from LA to Northern California for holidays. And even though like on a normal day, that drive would be like 6.5 hours from like our house to my mom's house.
Pretty much to the minute, door to door.
On Thanksgiving weekend, that could be easily a 10-hour drive.
Sure.
So we had to be like really careful like what days we actually traveled because we didn't want to be stuck in the car for, you know.
And even on the days when it was just that sort of canonical 6.5 hour drive, it was never a good 6.5 hour drive.
It's the middle of California, the Central Valley.
The 5 is screwed up. It just smells like the air quality is bad.
It's
it smells
great.
Like cows 50% of the time, but not in a good way. That's the 5. Or you can take 99, which is cool, but also real slow. People drive just like freaking idiots in the Central Valley. So it's not really like relaxing. You can't really set your cruise control and just kind of go.
Right.
You know, I would take the 12-hour drive from Tacoma.
Would you?
Oh, any day of the week over the half as long drive from LA.
That's wild.
I mean, just a better quality of life drive.
It's true. It's a beautiful drive.
Gorgeous.
Over a couple mountain passes, which got tricky for us because we did hit a little bit of weather.
We both drove in a tiny bit of snow on the way down.
It was fun though.
Just a little bit.
It's a beautiful, beautiful drive. And getting to NorCal and spending time with family and really one family member and then someone else's family.
Yeah, that's right.
Via the dating relationship.
That's right. Yeah. Glenda was our in to hang out with this guy and his family, which was wonderful.
It was.
And you know, he has just been a really cool new person in our life. He's neat, you know. I feel super stoked that we started to get to know him.
Yeah, me too.
He's just a really, really cool guy. He came over here as an immigrant from Italy. He was a baseball phenom, by the way.
Oh, really?
He had a baseball scholarship to USF.
Oh, you know what? I think I knew that. And that's the point of connection that I have because I went to USF as
Go
well.
Dons.
Go Dons. It's not like I ever had any kind of like mascot pride or like school spirit.
But he was a Don.
He
was a badass baseball player, but he also got a degree in business. And so he subsequently just went on to start an incredibly successful business with his dad.
Yeah.
Just like a three-person company, him, his dad, and a friend. And it just has taken him to amazing places in his life. He's retired from it now, but he's just really, really cool. Just like, he's the kind of hard worker. I relate to him a lot. Like, if he doesn't have something to do, he's restless.
Yeah.
And I'm that way too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's cool. He's just got that kind of nervous, kinetic, restless energy, you know, always wants to be doing something, being of service, helping people.
Yeah, for sure.
He's just a sweet, neat guy.
Yeah.
Really, really smart, very kind, and I'm stoked that your mom's dating him.
Me too. It's really strange to have parents who are dating.
Oh, yeah. I've never, of course, had that happen. Mine are still married, oddly.
But it's a strange thing because,
By the way, it's not odd that they're married. It's great they're married. It's just, it's anomalous. People our age mostly have divorced parents.
That's true.
I just want to be clear.
A lot of people do.
My parents' marriage is not odd. It's very good.
Yeah. It's very strange because, like, you know, in a lot of ways, dating is fraught, right? Like, you know, getting involved with another human being in an emotional way, you know, is a fraught thing. And so it's interesting. And it's been the case with both of my parents, you know, like watching them kind of like navigate the times in their life when they were single. My dad's married now. But, you know, watching them from a distance, you know, like you kind of like grow up thinking that your parents have got things figured out.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
And that they've got the boxes checked and like done and done. And
can't wait till I get there when I have everything figured out like my parents who have everything figured out.
And then you watch adult parents start like try to date and you're like, oh wait, they're like 16 in their brains, you know, like
12, flailing, absolutely clueless.
And I am not saying that my parents are flailing, that either of them are flailing, because I don't think that they are. But it is interesting to see them through a different lens, like that. It's, you know, clearly they don't have all the answers.
No.
You know,
and I don't even think necessarily that a lot of like people our age or people older have any more answers necessarily vis-a-vis relationships than we did when we were much, much younger.
Right.
Like, I think we still mostly all just make all the same kind of mistakes.
Right.
You know, have the same difficulties in interacting, trouble for asking what we need, like all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
You know, like just interpersonal difficulties. I don't know whether any of that stuff gets a lot more resolved, maybe a little, but probably more incrementally than wholesale.
Right, right. Well, and starting a new relationship with any other human, whether it's a new friendship or a dating relationship, I mean, like if you're going to be close with somebody, you're going to develop a bond that requires a level of vulnerability, you know, and vulnerability is fraught with all, I mean, it's risky, you know, like, and so it can throw you
terrifying.
Off kilter, you know, like, and it's unpredictable in terms of like what will be thrown your way, like to deal with emotionally speaking, you know, when you're getting to know another person.
Absolutely.
It was interesting. There was a moment in our hangout this weekend that sort of really like was a metaphor for this for me in a lot of ways.
Yeah, talk about that.
So we played a card game one night with my mom and her boyfriend, and it was just the four of us. And it was a game that I had never heard of before or played.
No, me neither.
And
Pedro
is what it's called. And side note. there are so many more games in the world than I, like, when people say, like, let's play cards,
yeah,
my mind, like, goes initially to, like, I don't know,
Gin Rummy
or something.
Which
or
is one of the two games there are.
Maybe poker, right? But I don't even know how to play poker, really. Yeah. But, like, I think of, like, that's what I think of. There are so many more games. Like, I had no idea that, like, I'd never played a game anything like this game. It was not even like, oh, this is kind of like X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
You know, with a few different rules. This was, like, completely new.
Yeah.
And so we had to learn a completely new game, right? Yeah. And my mom had learned to play one other time with her boyfriend. And so she'd played before, but you and I had to learn from scratch
how
to play this game. So,
and it's kind of a partner's game. It's, I think, not unlike bridge in that you're sort of partnered with the person you're sitting across the table from, and it's a four-person game, and it has to be a four-person game. You couldn't play it with three or two people.
Right, okay.
Right?
Yeah,
got to be a four-person.
Yeah.
And, like, you lead them by, you do bids, and then you, like, lead them by what card you put down. They're almost like signals to the person across from you. It's complicated.
It is. It is. So my mom's boyfriend started to explain the game, and I feel like I'm a pretty decent learner. Like, I think that I catch on to things usually, but
you're,
man,
smart. You got smarts.
I had a really hard time following what he was saying about how the game goes. And it occurred to me, like, a little bit into that process of trying to figure it all out, that, like, he was speaking in language that really only makes sense to somebody who knows how to play this game and who has played it for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, you know, he's teaching me from his point of view, this is just how it goes. This is how you strategize. This is how you think about this kind of move or this kind of move. And I was, like, so very much in need of, like, way more basic information than he was giving.
He was kind of Tarantino-ing it, sort of starting at the end. And you had to sort of infer the beginnings.
Like, starting with strategy and then going back to, like, the actual rules of the game.
Yeah.
I mean,
like, you should do mechanics and then strategy, probably.
Yeah.
But he was starting with strategy and, like, how to cue your partner. It's like, I don't even know how many freaking cards to pick up. Like, how do you discard? You know what I mean?
The basics were so, So it was just, but as we were sitting there, playing or learning how to play, it occurred to me that, oh my gosh, this is totally how it is in so many adult relationships. Like, when you start a relationship with somebody new, like, you come to the table with, like, this whole lifetime of history of how you have come to understand the world, how you've come to understand, you know, what it's like to be in a relationship or a friendship with somebody. And it's so second nature to you that you just, that's just how it is, right? Like, surely this is how it is for everyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Without really recognizing the fact that the other person is coming to the table with a whole other set of, you know, encyclopedic knowledge of how things are as they've learned it in their life.
And probably all of it is sort of calcified around bad habits.
Oh,
on
for
sure. Both sides.
Oh my gosh, totally. Totally.
There's no strong relationship that isn't at least somewhat codependent.
Oh, no strong relationship that isn't somewhat codependent?
I think so. I know it's not the ideal, but I think it's a truth.
An interesting thing we'll have to unpack, maybe for another time.
Yeah.
But my point is that just sitting there, it was like a light bulb flash moment. Like, oh my gosh, he's totally explaining the game as he knows it.
Yeah.
But I don't understand a darn thing.
Yeah. And he's just explaining desired outcomes.
Right, right.
Which, again, good metaphor for relationships.
So
if you just go right to desired outcomes, but you don't really figure out how to build a foundation that would allow you to build a structure that gets you to those outcomes.
Right. Or establish the ground rules or any of it.
Yeah.
But it occurred to me, like, part of the way through him teaching us how to play the game, that probably it would be so much easier for me if we just played a round.
Yeah.
And didn't, like, not an open round, not one where we could see each other's hands so that he could, you know, I didn't want to hear what his strategy was going to be for the hand I had. It's like, if I just could make my own mistakes and, you know, and I would learn a lot faster if I just did it myself.
Yeah.
You know, and that ended up kind of how we proceeded. And I think by the end of the game, I sort of understood how to play the game. And I think that my mom probably sort of understood how to play the game. And she and I were a team and we won.
Yeah.
Like, we really did not have, like, any sort of mastery of this game.
And there's another good part of the metaphor too, right? At the end of the day, it doesn't even matter if you have a freaking clue what you're doing. It's just the luck of what cards you get dealt.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. It sometimes is the luck of the cards.
You can practice and practice and practice and learn and study and really try to become a good interlocutor of human character.
Right.
At the end of the day, it doesn't fucking matter at all. It's just what cards you get dealt. You win, you lose. That's it.
Sigh. But you know, you do have to show up to win it all. So maybe that's another like part of the game that we do have control over, right?
Yeah.
You can show up or not. And I suppose if I had gotten frustrated in round one and been like, I don't get it, then I wouldn't have been on the winning team.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, that was a fun, we had a good time. My brain was stretched. Man, my brain has been stretched like so much lately because we've been doing these home projects that have we've had to learn all these new skills.
We have been out of our comfort zone a whole lot.
So much.
Here's a place that I was out of my comfort zone this Thanksgiving vis-a-vis this whole hanging out with Ray's family thing.
Yeah.
So your mom and Ray have been dating for a year and a half, right? Which at about 70 is long enough to be serious.
Yeah, totally.
Which means for you and me that we now have the potential of having perhaps some new extended family.
Potentially.
Right? Because that's theoretically how that kind of thing might go. And I'm finding myself feeling like that's a little bit fraught because I think for them right now, they're not there yet. They're not sure whether it's a permanent thing or not. They're just on the path.
Yeah.
It's fine that they don't know, but they don't know yet. But this is the second Thanksgiving that we have spent with him and his family.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one was really cool. It's like, hey, these people are neat. Cool. Great. Hope everything works out. Well, now it's a year later and we got to spend a second Thanksgiving with them and we really like them.
Yeah. Really bonded.
Which is really kind of feeling a little difficult for me, right?
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, it is because it's entirely possible that your mom and Ray will break up next week. I don't know. No one knows.
Right.
I hope they don't. But they're not in a place where it's 100% sure. We're together forever, getting married. It's a done deal.
They haven't made that kind of a commitment.
No, they haven't.
To each other.
You know, they're still just figuring it out. And one of the possible things that's on the table with any relationship is that it doesn't work out. That could be the thing that you figure out.
Right.
And so, you know, if that happens, all of a sudden, these people with whom we have started to feel slightly emotionally attached are sort of going to be sort of back out of our lives in the same weird way that they were in our lives.
Potentially.
At least as far as that first overt connection, you know?
Right.
We obviously, I think at this point, know them well enough that we could and I'm sure would pursue a relationship independently with them.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, just because they're nice humans who are our age and that's great.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny. And in one sense, I feel like you and I are so good at meeting people. It's part of what we do for work.
Right.
We meet people and we, because of what we do, get to meet a lot of really neat, thoughtful people.
Yeah.
Who care about how the world works, sometimes in ways similar to how we care about how the world works. And we can bond with them.
Mm-hmm.
And we can bond with them pretty deeply. Like you and I have made deep soul connections with people all over the country. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
But you know, when there's not someone in there is dating thing, that's sort of the first glue. It just seems almost easier in an odd way. You know what I mean? Just we're just making friends like people do. But when there's that relationship part in there that neither one of us is in control of, for me, it makes it feel a little bit, it's not tenuous. It's not
that. There's more at stake or something.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure what. I would just hate for it to be weird if there were a breakup and then we're actually we're going to keep hanging out. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
That would be, I don't know, potentially fraught. I don't know. Hopefully not, but just life is strange.
It also wouldn't
have
to be, but I understand where you're coming from totally. But also it's never a bad thing to invest time in another person or in other people,
even if you do,
I mean, I think what you're describing is a feeling of vulnerability, right?
Yeah,
you're investing your heart on some level in the lives of some people who you don't know whether or not they're going to be part of your life going forward or not. And that's, you can't, I mean, I guess in this particular scenario, there's the obvious, it's obvious that it may or may not continue, right? But really, how different is it from pretty much any other relationship in our lives, right?
Yeah.
We think that relationships will continue on and on and on. But if you looking back on our lives, we can, see friendships that were really important to us at certain times that, we've drifted apart.
Sure.
Or, we assume that the relationships that we're building with people are going to last forever. I mean, think about
generally they don't. Yeah.
Your middle school yearbook, you know.
You had a middle school yearbook?
We did.
Is that a thing?
We did have a middle school, but think high school yearbook for, you know, best friends forever, you know. And like,
I don't think anyone really said that to me. I wasn't a best friends forever kind of kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think that anyone felt that strongly about me in high school.
And on the flip side, like the person who actually was
your best... I had my nose up against the window of best friends forever.
Oh.
I wanted very much to be there.
But the flip side of that is that the person who really was your best friend in high school still is in your life and is a good friend.
Kind of my best friend.
Yeah, so you win. Like,
yeah, it's true.
You know, like...
Yeah.
But I think that's the point is like, you know, in this particular situation with, you know, my mom's boyfriend's family... Yeah, it becomes a little bit more obvious that, yeah, the path could fork left or it could fork right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's always the case. It just happens to be that it's more obvious in this particular case.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's never a bad thing to show up for other people and to invest in getting to know them.
I think that's
just
right.
Showing them love, you know? That there's nothing lost there, even if you don't get to have a long-term relationship with these folks.
Yeah.
There's nothing lost.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that's right.
But I do understand your feeling of feeling tenuous. I get it. Yeah.
We installed a dishwasher. Speaking of segues.
Yes. So what happened was when we tore up our kitchen floor a couple weeks ago before we left for Thanksgiving, and part of doing that required us to move appliances around. And so when we went to move our 1982 dishwasher that had never really worked properly out of the kitchen. It was such a big pain in the butt. We're like, this thing's never coming back in here.
No. We managed to get out of the house with a dolly. I think it weighs like 250 pounds or something.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so we just spent a bunch of money buying the flooring and stuff. We weren't really thinking we need to replace a dishwasher because it hasn't really worked. So we've been doing hand washing dishes. You and I have been hand washing dishes in our adult life pretty much forever.
Forever. Yeah. I've never lived in a house with a functioning dishwasher.
I don't think I have.
In my adult life.
No. When I lived with my friend Michelle for a year, she had a dishwasher. So there was that.
She was pretty grown up.
She still is pretty grown up.
Yeah, that's true.
In the best possible way.
Yep.
But yeah, so like, yeah, hand washing was we weren't thinking we were going to replace. And then my mom gave us some money toward an early Christmas gift. So we got a new dishwasher, which was great. And Black Friday, by the way, Black Friday sales are the time to get appliances.
Holy cow.
If you don't know this, they're like extremely reduced. It's like the best time of year to buy new
appliances.
We got
ours on like, I want to say a 40% discount.
It was fantastic.
It was ridiculous. Yeah.
But then we had to install it. And it was so funny yesterday when we were heading home from the store.
And I want to specify also with this floor, by the way, we installed that ourselves too.
Oh, yeah.
And I also
want
to clarify that when we were like, we spent a bunch of money on the floor. We spent, for us, a married pair of working artists, a bunch of money on this floor.
Yeah, it wasn't that much.
What we actually spent on this floor in real person terms was not very much at all, I don't think. Because I think most people will just be like, all right, yeah, I budgeted $5,000. Someone else is going to install it. We're going to take a vacation. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a spa weekend. We'll come back. There'll be a new floor. No, we stocked this stuff, as we do with everything, because we always have more time than money. We spent a bunch of time researching it, and then we figured out what we wanted, and then we waited for it to go on sale, and then we got a quote, and then waited for it to go on an even bigger sale, and like negotiated them down. Like, we got our flooring on 40% off, too, and then we installed it ourselves.
Yeah.
All told, it cost less than $1,000. And like... good on us for that. But holy hell, was it hard. And that's a trade-off, right? Like, we never have the time, but we can do the holy hell, it was hard, but we did it.
Totally.
And that was the path with the dishwasher.
Totally.
We did not lay out a bunch of cash, but we more than made up with it in sweat equity.
Yes, but it was so funny to me when we were heading home from the store with the dishwasher in the back of the wagon yesterday.
It just fits in the back of the wagon.
You were like, oh yeah, this will probably take like a half hour, maybe an hour.
Well, I had read all the people's reviews because part of our research process was we read all the people's reviews for each one of the ones we were considering.
Yeah.
And people were like, my husband installed it in half an hour. And I'm like, well, he sounds like a super install genius. Maybe it'll take us an hour and a half. I was thinking three times as long, right? Oh my God. It took the two of us about 8 hours.
Oh yeah.
About 6 hours last night and about 2 hours today.
Part of the reason was because one of the mounting screws they sent with us didn't even fit.
They were the wrong screws.
So like part of it's not even our fault.
That's right.
Part of it is that we're very thorough, but he did a great job. High five.
Yeah.
And our dishwasher is now installed. We did our first load of dishes this afternoon, and it was pretty great.
Yeah, I don't want to brag, but there are zero leaks. I replumbed the underside of the sink. It worked amazing. Very, very proud about that.
You should be.
Thank you.
You should be.
Yeah.
So, yes, we've been stretching ourselves in ways mentally, emotionally, physically.
It's weird. Like, all this stuff feels very uncomfortable to me. And you'd think, like, given the oddity... The relative oddity with which you and I live our lives, you know, that we would be used to this kind of stuff. Like, oh yeah, tackling new challenges. We're on it. We do this all of the time. It's not true. Like, I don't seem to get used to it.
Right.
I've just been uncomfortable constantly for like the last 2 weeks.
Interesting.
With all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just been difficult. Mm. And like that's okay, you know? Mm-hmm. And I have to really like pause at like very intentionally in certain moments and be like, okay, I'm feeling uncomfortable because I don't know how to do something.
Right.
And I'm just going to learn it.
Yeah.
And I may have to do it a couple of times and screw it up, but it will be okay.
Yeah.
You know, I still, age 47, like, don't fundamentally understand, just like in an intuitive way, that like I'll be okay with like unknown stuff, which feels really pathetic.
It's not. I get that that's part of how you're wired.
Yeah.
But it's not knowing things is uncomfortable for me too. And like, as you were describing your feeling about that, like what it made me think of was what I feel like pretty much every night when we're getting ready to do a house concert.
Mm.
Like, you would think at this point, I could just get up behind the piano and let her rip and it's just comfortable and easy.
I actually kind of would think that. That's true.
And I most nights have to be like, okay, I'm choosing to step into this as open-heartedly as I possibly can. And, you know, I have to make a conscious choice to move into it wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
All the time. It's not easy. I wouldn't call it nervous, because it's not like I'm shaking at the knees, you know, nervous or anything like that. But all the self-doubt, the like, will they receive me?
Do you have imposter syndrome stuff?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I have to talk myself through that, much like you were just describing with the home tasks.
Yeah.
You know, I have to talk myself through like, I'm showing up to this, I'm choosing it, I'm stepping in with an open heart, and I'm gonna be fine.
Yeah.
You know? But I have to go through that like mental checklist all the time. It's wild.
Yeah.
45. Yeah. Totally don't have it figured out.
You're 45? That's weird.
Neither do my parents. Neither does anybody. Nobody has it figured out. We're just all figuring it out as we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on.
Sigh.
Yeah, and you know what? We probably won't ever figure it out, and then we're going to die. And scene.
Oh, my gosh.
And then we'll come back in our next life, right, with the reset button having been hit, and we'll just stumble through it again.
Welcome
and
to
try to figure it out. And mostly fail and then die.
Welcome to Misfit Stars.
Just over and over and over forever.
Neighborhood nihilist podcast.
I think it's more like Buddhist, actually, really.
At least in Buddhism, you make a little progress each time, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. My version of it was more like Sisyphus, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, fair.
Hey, how about
there's a real fine line between Buddhism and like Sisyphean nihilism.
Yeah, That's true.
Yeah, interesting.
Let's take a break. Let's ponder that for a few more seconds.
Yeah, okay. And
then after the break.
After the break, we have a listener topic from Jen O about the lenses we see the world through. So yeah, let's do that and we'll see you guys in a sec.
Stick around.
Yep.
See you soon.
Everyone, did you enjoy listening to the instrumental version of Flowers and the Flood?
Aww.
I love how that's kind of just become, I almost think of it not as a song off of that album.
It's now it's a podcast song.
Yeah, it's bumper music now.
Yeah.
Although if you're listening and you're like, I love that song, what's that song? It's called Flowers in the Flood, and it's off of Both at the Same Time from 2018.
Yeah.
Which seems like a billion years ago.
It does seem like a billion years ago.
Hey, by the way, listeners, I just want to let you know, we understand that Shannon's voice is sounding funny this episode. We're getting her a new microphone. This one just like, it's got a little gooseneck. They're headphone-mounted microphones. They have little goosenecks to hold the mic in front of your face, like Lady Gaga or something. Only it just isn't staying put.
It's malfunctioning.
Yeah. The gooseneck keeps ungoosing.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's technically the right way to use that verb.
Sure.
I think I just made
Why
it up.
Why not?
But anyway, we know. We're sorry. We'll figure it out.
So, listener topic time. We haven't done a listener topic in a few weeks. This is exciting. Speaking of listener topics, if you are a Misfit Star.
A supporting member.
A supporting member.
Which you, if you're not, you can become one at misfitstars.com/join. Continue.
And if you are a star, you could suggest a topic if you want to. You could message me or Jamie. You could make a post in the Misfit Stars Facebook group.
Easy for you to say.
I know. If you've got a burning question, something you want us to explore
Interested
in conversation with each other.
On something.
Yeah. Just pipe up. Yeah. We would love to hear your topics.
Yeah, let us know.
But for today.
Today, we have a listener topic from Jen O. And Jen asks, what lenses do you see the world through? And how do they affect your view of others? Interesting question.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had trouble at first trying to figure out how to sort of like tackle this question. Because, you know, sometimes the lenses through which we see the world are not things that we're necessarily aware of all the time. Right.
Yeah.
So like, how would I even answer the question? Because I'm not sure, you know.
I've got one. Should I go first?
Yeah, you go start. Yeah. You first. Start first and then we'll go from there.
So, you know, the first thing when I read this that I thought about is this weird duality that I've known about myself for a long time now, which is that I am instinctively trusting of people on the one hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other hand, at the very same time, I am deeply cynical.
Yeah.
You know, like I believe in people's almost bottomless ability to disappoint.
Jamie.
Yes.
I was enjoying this podcast.
Yes.
And then the audio started fading out.
Yes.
What the heck is going on?
I can explain it. I know what's happening,
what?
Shannon. Here's the deal. This is a member exclusive episode of the Misfit Stars podcast.
What does that mean?
Great question. Glad you asked. Here's what it means. First of all, if you are a subscribing member of the Misfit Stars podcast, just switch over to your private feed. Keep listening. You don't have to listen to this. But if you're hearing this and you are not a subscribing, supporting member of the Misfit Stars podcast, then it's okay. It's fine. But here's the deal. If you want to hear the rest of this episode, you're going to need to become a supporting member.
It's a deep episode too. You don't want to miss this.
Oh, we got into some stuff.
Jen
asked a really cool question, and like it ended up with like talking about like my utter lack of religious grounding based on where I grew up. Like we got deep. It was super deep.
Yes.
And I think it was a good discussion. And here's the deal. We do this semi-frequently. Like we say every other episode, usually it's more like one out of every three episodes is how it works out, is a member exclusive episode, which you can only hear if you're a supporting member of the podcast.
But good news is you could become a member right now and hear the rest of this podcast.
You could keep listening in like 2 minutes from now. You just go to misfitstars.com/join. Again, that's misfitstars.com/join. And you just sign up. It's really quick. It's inexpensive. It's a $5 a month thing. This is our way to encourage you to support this thing that we do. Because, you know, we don't have a single thing that we do in the world, Shannon and I. Like, Shannon's a singer-songwriter. She's an artist, right? Like, she does songs and makes records and she speaks and she writes things. And I'm a record producer, so I help people make records and I write things. And, you know, I do speaking too. And I mentor people and, you know, we have all these weird, sketchy little things that we do with our lives that combine all of them from Shannon's side and all of them from my side. And this podcast being like a shared thing, this is where we intersect. And all of them combine to sort of make a full life, right? And this is just a piece of our puzzle. So if you want to support us, if you want to use this as an excuse to support what we are doing with our lives, well, we would appreciate that. That is indeed the very reason we've structured this way, is to encourage you, hopefully, entice you with this grade A plus content to become a supporting member. So misfitstars.com/join. Sign up. We would love it. We would appreciate it so much.
We would appreciate it so very much. There's the lowest level for getting in is $5 a month. That's
cheap.
It.
16 cents a day, people.
There are some other levels that involve stickers and t-shirts, and that would be great too. But for all the levels, all of our members also get invited to our online Facebook group, our private Facebook group.
The offline Facebook group sucked, so now we're just doing the online one.
The private Facebook group, and we would love to invite you. We'll invite you to that group as soon as you become a member.
It's on the internet.
As soon as you become a member,
www.facebookonline.
To that group. We would love to see you there, and I know our other stars would love to welcome you there as well.
Yeah, it's great. We just had a wonderful welcoming of a new member just a few days ago.
Yeah.
He's also a singer-songwriter. He started sharing stuff about his music. Turns out someone else who's in the group knew of him already.
Uh-huh.
How nifty.
You could be the next person to be welcomed into the group. So just go to misfitstars.com/join and do the deed. Thank you.
Thanks, people. Appreciate you.
See you later.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye.